ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्णा, सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द भगवद गीता चैप्टर 10 वर्स नंबर 9। मच्चित्ता मद्गत प्राणा बोधयन्त परस्परम् कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम् तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: द थॉट्स ऑफ माय प्योर डिवोटीज ड्वेल इन मी, देयर लाइव्स आर फुल्ली डिवोटेड टू माय सर्विस and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Purport: pure devotees whose characteristics are mentioned here engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing Him with other devotees. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself, and in the mature stage, they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in His abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe, and out of them, there are few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and if it is sown in the heart of a living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, that seed fructifies just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the Brahma Jyoti effulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits, and the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. This plant of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 19. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God. Then he cannot live even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord, just as the fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and His devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees, as stated in the Bhagavatam itself, 12.13.18. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranamamalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. In this narration, there is nothing about material activities economic development, sense gratification or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and His devotees is fully described. Thus, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and a girl take pleasure in association. Hare Krishna. So, before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all the devotees present here, so that I can speak something on this most confidential subject of the Bhagavad Gita. So, we are in this 10th chapter, entitled The Opulence of the Absolute. The four verses starting from 10.8 till 10.8, 9, 10 and 11, 8 to 11, these four verses are known as the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. That means these four verses contain the essence of the Gita. The main message that Lord Krishna wanted to give Arjuna is contained in these four verses. A similar kind of four verse structure also exists in the Bhagavatam, which is known as the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. The essence of the Bhagavatam that we need to understand. So here we have this Chatushloki Gita, and we are on the second verse of the Chatushloki, 10.9, where Lord Krishna is saying the activities of his devotees. In the previous verse, 10.8, if you remember, we saw how Krishna is explaining his own position. Aham sarvasya prabhu matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. So Krishna is saying how he is the origin of all the material and spiritual worlds. Everything that we see in this world is an emanation from him. So he is the ultimate source, the ultimate creator of whatever exists in this creation. And he says in the end of that verse, buddha bhava samanvita. The wise who perfectly know this fact worship me with all their hearts. So who are these wise people? Who are these buddha? That we see in this verse. And he says, machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. The wise people who know that Krishna is the origin of everything, he is the source of everything, the source of material and spiritual worlds, those people engage in constantly discussing about his activities, about his glories, about his different qualities. These are the only activities of the pure devotees. And in the previous verse, we saw how Prabhupada is quoting so many Vedic references to prove Krishna's position, so that one can be perfectly convinced that Krishna is not just an ordinary person like any other person. He is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only a person who has understood this can completely engage in constantly glorifying about him. Just like, for example, if we want to, if we know some person in this world, a great film star or a great sports star. India is known as a land of cricket, right? People say cricket is our religion and someone is a god. So, and we keep on glorifying that person. Cricket is our religion. Cricket is our life and soul of Indians. Whenever there is a cricket match, we constantly absorb ourselves in those matches and then constantly discuss how those players performed, right? And especially when the star performer is there, we just can't stop ourselves glorifying that person if India wins the match, obviously. So we have this master Sachin Tendulkar, and we keep on glorifying how he scored, how many centuries he scored, how he hit that batsman, so on and so forth. Right? We find so, Indians find so much pleasure in talking about that person. So when we understand a person, a sportsman's or a film star's greatness, his glories, then we like to discuss about that person. Now if you take an American and start glorifying a cricketer, then he won't find any pleasure in that, right? Because the American doesn't know anything about cricket, he doesn't know anything about cricket stars in India, so he hardly cares about anything about the cricket stars' activities, right? So because he lacks the knowledge about cricket and the various stars involved in the match of cricket, he hardly takes any interest in discussing about those activities. So to know, to glorify someone and to keep constantly talking about a person, we need to have the knowledge about that person. So therefore Krishna is highlighting his qualities, his position, his activities in these previous verses. 10.8 is the first verse where he is directly proclaiming himself to be God. Aham sarvasya prabhu. I am that supreme person from whom everything originates. So once we understand Krishna's supreme position, Krishna's position as the controller of everything, then we can understand that he is not an ordinary person. And then we can actually start appreciating his position, his activities, his holy names, his absolute nature, and so on. So therefore, we need to somehow acquire as much knowledge as possible about Krishna's position and Krishna's activities. And that's what the Bhagavad Gita actually is. Bhagavad Gita keeps us, is directly the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he himself directly presents to us what his position is and what his activities are. So a thorough study, a systematic study of Bhagavad Gita is extremely essential for us to reach a position where we can constantly keep glorifying Krishna and his transcendental nature. I remember when I was a young child, one person came who exactly looked like Sachin in our locality. And he was going in his motorbike, traveling all around, trying to show others, no, here I am, Sachin look-alike. And we all, young kids, ran all the way till the place where he was supposed to be present and declaring himself. So I'm so much absorbed, because we knew the position. He was at the peak of his career at that time, 15 years back. And he was there roaming around all over the locality. And actually we saw him, and he exactly looked like Sachin, exact look-alike. And people actually thought he was the original Sachin had come there. And then later we came to know that he was just a duplicate and trying to show off. But anyway, the point is, when we understand a person's glorious position, then we start appreciating his activities. So, knowledge of the position of God and his absolute nature is extremely important, as it is presented in the Gita. Most commentators in India hardly present Krishna as he is. They consider him to be a mundane personality who did some politics, some diplomacy, incited the Kurukshetra war, did his selfish business and then went away. Unless we understand his transcendental position, we can never appreciate his activities. And then if we don't understand his position, we will have all kinds of confusion. Why he did like this, why he killed Karna, why he killed Drona. So many confusions people have regarding the controversies, apparent controversies people have regarding the Mahabharata and its pastimes. So position, understanding the position of Krishna as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, extremely important. Now once we understand that devotees keep constantly absorbed. Prabhupada here says, devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna. And they take pleasure in discussing him with other devotees. So this is the business of the pure devotees. they have nothing else to discuss. They are constantly absorbed in his activities, glorifying him and discussing his pastimes, as described in the various Vedic literatures like the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Puranas, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many books we have. So that is the position of a devotee. Even if you take mundane examples, people who are absorbed in a certain subject. We had one professor who, Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki, Shri Gaur Nitai ki. We had a professor who used to teach us mathematics in our college, and an IITian, did his doctorate and did his PhD in mathematics, and he used to teach us this subject. Even while walking on the street or having his meals, all those times his mind was totally absorbed in mathematical problems and discussing mathematics and other subjects, scientific subjects. People used to consider him crazy to some extent. While walking, while talking, he used to calculate some mathematical formula and think about that subject alone. So even in mundane field, we see how when a person is completely addicted to a certain subject, he loses track of his daily activities. He loses his interest in the daily activities like eating or sleeping, and is completely absorbed and engrossed in that subject alone. He finds extra pleasure, great pleasure in absorbing himself in those thoughts and in those subjects. And he finds pleasure in teaching others, other students, other people, about the value of this subject, how interesting the subject is, and how important, how practical it is. Right? People who are interested in films, they keep talking only about films, Bollywood, Hollywood, whatever it is. Who are interested in music, they keep talking only about music. Is it not? We see this constantly in our day-to-day experience. People who are interested in making money, they are interested in only talking about the various plans and ideas to invest money in certain areas and making more and more. How to invest in stock market or how to invest in various business plans. So many ideas. So, when a person is discussing on a certain subject, we understand that that subject is his life and soul. Right? So, when we see pure devotees discussing only about Krishna, this happens generally when a person comes to the Hare Krishna movement, he is initially very fired up and he finds extra pleasure in discussing about Krishna, the philosophy and the activities of the movement. And generally his friends consider him very crazy. This person has gone crazy, gone case. He keeps only talking about Krishna and the temple and the activities. So, we need to absorb ourselves in this subject. Somehow or other absorb our mind in Krishna and the philosophy and the activities centered around Krishna. That will slowly, gradually purify our hearts, and somehow one day we can hope to reach that position where we'll be completely absorbed in Krishna. We'll be completely Krishnaized, as Prabhupada said. Completely spiritualized. Krishna being absolutely pure and spiritual, the moment we come in contact with Krishna in any form, either through his name, his activities, his pastimes, his anything about him, his prasad, whenever we come in contact with him in any form, because Krishna is spiritual and absolute, when we come in contact with him, we also gain that transcendental nature, the spiritual and absolute nature of Krishna, and we also become equally purified. We attain the same nature. Prabhupada gives the example of an iron rod coming in contact with fire. The iron rod, when it is in its normal state, in its room temperature, it is harmless. But when it comes in contact with fire, the iron rods gradually becomes hot, and it becomes red hot like fire. And if anyone touches that red hot iron, it is as good as touching fire. Right? So that iron rod starts acting like fire for all practical purposes. We need not go and touch fire. If we touch that red hot iron rod, we get the same effect of touching fire. So similarly, when we come in contact with Krishna in any form, we also get the same properties and the same characteristics that Krishna possesses. So therefore we have this process of chanting the holy names. In this age, the most practical and the easiest way of coming in contact with Krishna is the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when devotees come together and chant and glorify Krishna, then we understand that Krishna is actually present in that place. In fact, the Lord declares to Narada, Naham tishthami vaikunthe, Naham tishthami vaikunthe yoginam hridayeshuva. Tatra tishthami Narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. Krishna is saying, wherever my devotees, I am not present, Krishna says, I am not present in those places like Vaikuntha or in the hearts of the yogis. Where am I present then? I am present in the place where my pure devotees are constantly engaged in chanting my holy names and discussing my activities. So that's where Krishna is present. And if you want to access Krishna, we just need to constantly absorb ourselves in Krishna's activities. Preach about Krishna's activities. Educate people about Krishna's activities and his position. And this whole movement is based on that one principle. Providing people the spiritual education, how by surrendering oneself to Krishna, we become spiritualized. Otherwise, we will be seeking shelter and seeking pleasure in activities of mundane people, where we can never find permanent satisfaction. Only when a person finally, after many, many births, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, only after millions of lifetimes, when a person ultimately comes to surrender to Krishna, only then he finds the real shelter and the real happiness that he is trying to seek elsewhere. In the purport, Prabhupada is also talking about one feature of the Bhakti Lata Beej. Bhakti Lata Beej is the devotional creeper that is planted in the heart of a devotee when he takes to the process of devotional service. So Prabhupada is saying here that there are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe. Brahmanda Brahmite Hoila Kona Bhagyavan Jeev. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. Out of so many millions of living entities in all the species of life, we have this human form which is so rare. And among the human species, how many people take serious interest in spiritual life, in trying to understand who God is, who am I, what is my real goal of life? Hardly anyone takes interest in these kind of matters. Right? But somehow or other, fortunately, a person comes in contact with a pure devotee and then develops the faith that is needed to begin the process of devotional service. This happens one in millions of living entities. Very rare. Krishna also says in the Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhai. Yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tattvada. Among thousands of men, one takes to this process. And among thousands of people who have achieved perfection in the process, one attains me. So finally, somehow or other, a person takes to this process and takes to the chanting of the holy names and any of the devotional activities. Then what happens? This devotional service is just like a seed and if it is sown in the heart of a living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting the holy names, that seed fructifies. So this creeper, the seed of this creeper gradually starts growing and starts fructifying. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into this Brahma Jyoti effulgence of the spiritual sky. So scriptures explain that this universe is covered with different layers of elements, beyond which there is the Brahman effulgence, all-pervading light, and then beyond that is the spiritual world, the spiritual planets. So this creeper that is sown in the heart of a person, heart of a devotee, by the gradual process of watering the creeper, which is hearing and chanting, this creeper gradually starts growing. It grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe. Penetrates through the effulgence of Brahman effulgence. And then what happens? It goes beyond. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet. So we understand how in the spiritual world also there are different levels of Vaikuntha planets. Different Vaikuntha planets where the 400 form of the Lord is presiding, beyond which there is Ayodhya, there is Dwarka, original, the spiritual world. And ultimately on the top we have the Golok Vrindavan planet, where Krishna in his 200 form, Shyam Sundar form, is the chief living entity. So this creeper of devotional service, by this constant process of watering through hearing and chanting, ultimately reaches the highest planet of Goloka Vrindavan. The plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits. And the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing continues. So hearing and chanting is continuing, and the plant is still growing. It has already reached the spiritual world and taken shelter of Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet. The process of hearing and chanting is continuing, and then it starts producing fruits. This plant of devotional service is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God. So here we are seeing the devotees. This is all describing the devotees, the pure devotees who are engaged constantly in devotional service. So for them we are discussing this feature. Huh? Plant of the devotional creeper is growing continuously. Then he cannot live even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord. He is fully absorbed, just as you see here. This is the characteristic of a pure devotee. Fully absorbed in thinking and remembering the activities and the glories of the Supreme Lord. Just as a fish cannot live without water. For a fish, its life is water. As soon as it comes out of the water, its elements, it immediately loses life. Similarly, for a devotee, discussing about Krishna, preaching about Krishna, is his life and soul. And as soon as he comes out of it, he is practically dead. So a devotee can never think of giving up Krishna consciousness at any point of life, at any point of time. That is his life. Constantly discussing about Krishna. Just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. So this is how the creeper of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it starts producing the fruits of love of God. Now by hearing this description, one may feel it is so easy, right? We just have to chant and hear. In one sense, yes, it is easy. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Prabhupada is pointing the reference, it also describes various kinds of obstacles that can come while this creeper of devotional service is growing. The main obstacle Lord Chaitanya describes is the offensive attitude. It's called as a mad elephant offense. For a creeper in a garden, the greatest danger is some wild animal coming in and destroying all the plants, uprooting all the plants. So similarly, this devotional creeper that has been sown in the heart of a devotee and is gradually growing, it can also come under the attack of the mad elephant in the form of Vaishnava Parad, offense to a devotee. So whenever a devotee commits an offense, that is considered as the greatest threat for that devotional creeper that is growing in his heart. So one has to be extremely cautious and careful about taking all kinds of protection in order to protect this devotional creeper. Otherwise, whatever efforts we have done, whatever effort we have put in order to nourish this devotional creeper, everything will be lost. In the sense, not exactly completely lost, but it will be covered. And that person may lose all interest in continuing further. That's how the effect of offense takes place. The person will suddenly leave his activities, his devotional service. And then one starts wondering what happened to him. He was such a nice devotee. He was doing so much service. Suddenly he gives up everything. So most often, it is because of some serious offense that the devotee commits while executing his devotional service. So as practicing devotees, we need to be extra careful to take care that we don't commit offenses intentionally or unintentionally, directly or indirectly, to any other devotee. In that way, we can protect and safeguard this devotional creeper. Another kind of obstacle that Lord Chaitanya highlights is the growth of weeds around the plant of devotional service, around the creeper of devotional service. Just as in a garden, there are so many weeds. Weeds are those unwanted plants that grow around a plant and take away all the nutrition that we supply to a plant. They provide fertilizers, water, and so many other things for the proper growth of a plant in a garden, right? So similarly, in this case of devotional creeper, there are so many weeds that can grow around this creeper. And those weeds are the weeds of material desires. Desire for lusty desires, anger, greed, the desire for prestige, adoration and distinction. One may take to Krishna consciousness with the hope of becoming famous, with the hope of gaining some reputation, some distinction, with so many material desires. So all these desires are compared to the weeds that grow around a plant in a garden. So what does the farmer do, a gardener do? He is extremely careful because he doesn't want to lose his precious nutrients and fertilizers in cultivating these weeds. Right? So he, as soon as he finds out that a certain weed is growing around this creeper, he immediately takes measure to pluck it out, to uproot it, and make sure that his main crop, his main creeper, main plant, is growing nicely and getting all the nutrition. Similarly, as practicing devotees, we need to be extremely careful to cultivate, extremely careful to avoid the cultivation of these kinds of weeds. The desire for material enjoyment, material prestige and adoration and distinction. In that way, we can ensure the proper growth and the proper nourishment of this devotional creeper. Otherwise, if weeds start growing, all the nutrition will be absorbed by these weeds, and the growth of the devotional creeper will be stunted. It can never grow properly. And all our activities will be just to cultivate the weeds. Whole effort will be wasted. So we need to be taking extra careful against these two major obstacles. The obstacle of Vaishnava Aparad and the mistake of cultivating these unwanted weeds in the form of material desires. In the final section of the purport, Prabhupada is saying how devotees engross themselves in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the main scripture where devotees find pleasure in discussing the narrations and activities of the Lord as described in the Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Vaishnavanam Priyam. This is extremely dear to the devotees of the Lord. Why? Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Puran, as Lord Chaitanya calls it. Spotless Puran that contains the activities and narrations of all the incarnations of the Lord. All the incarnations that we know. Kurma Avatar, Narsingh Avatar, Matsya Avatar, Lord Krishna, Lord Ramachandra. All the incarnations activities are described in this transcendental literature known as the Srimad Bhagavatam. So because it contains nothing else, it doesn't have any reference to any mundane activity. It doesn't encourage the reader to pursue any of the elementary levels of religion like economic development, sense gratification and liberation. It directly focuses and transports the reader to the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various incarnations. So that is the special position of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It doesn't compare anywhere, in any way, with any kind of literature that we find in the outside world. In the beginning itself, we find the Bhagavatam itself glorifying its own position. How it rejects all kinds of Kaitava Dharma, cheating religions. Any religion that promotes sense gratification covered with a devotional coating is considered to be a cheating religion. It may appear religious from outside, but if it is encouraging the reader or the follower of the religion to increase their material activities and sense gratification, then we must understand that religion is not actually promoting pure devotional service. It is encouraging the follower to get entangled more and more in this material world. So the Bhagavatam initially, in the beginning itself, declares that this scripture is not an ordinary scripture. It rejects all kinds of cheating religion and it presents the purest form of religion. That is, glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the whole book, consisting of 12 cantos, is simply the literature that is glorifying the pure and transcendental activities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. It grows on us very gradually, starting from the first canto till the ninth canto, and it culminates in the tenth canto where the activities of the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is explained in thorough great detail. So as devotees of the Lord, we need to somehow or other absorb ourselves in reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and similar kind of literatures, and understand the glorious activities of Krishna and his various incarnations. If we don't relish these activities, then we will have to come back to our mundane activities of sports and films and so many other things. If we don't find pleasure in these activities, then we will be forced to relish these activities. Because we have no other option. puna punascharvita charvanana. The same activities, just appearing in different colors. That's all. Mundane activities are the same activities. All coated with different coverings. But in essence, it is the same. And because it is the same, and we are seeking out something new, we actually don't find real pleasure in hearing about the activities of mundane people. It is the same thing. But as soon as we take to the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other transcendental literature, we will find that although it may appear the same externally, but we find newer and newer tastes and pleasure by discussing and reading and hearing about the activities of the Lord. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam is unique. It was compiled 5,000 years ago and it is still popular. Even in India now, we find so many people, so many Bhagavat Kathakas conducting so many 7-day Bhagavat Saptas on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Because it is such a wonderful literature. They may not be presenting it in the purest form, but at least they are finding it pleasurable. They find it relishing because it contains only wonderful activities of the Lord. So as soon as we start hearing and discussing about it, it actually satisfies a person because it contains everything. It contains adventurous activities and the heroic activities of the Lord. It contains science, scientific details, scientific information about the structure of the universe, the different planetary systems, heavenly and hellish planets, and the movement of the planets around the sun, their relative position and their various orbits, astronomical information. Then there is psychological information, how people are affected by their mind and intelligence and the false ego, how they clash with each other, how they complement each other at various times. All branches of knowledge we can find in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, there was a BBT poster, a nice poster called A to Z of the Srimad Bhagavatam. A for adventure, austerity, asceticism, and B for other things, K for knowledge, all A to Z. It had listed out various topics that the Bhagavatam covers that we seek out elsewhere. If we don't have the Bhagavatam, then we have to find out other sources for relishing ourselves, for relishing some subjects. So as soon as we get the Bhagavatam, we find the ultimate satisfaction. So therefore Prabhupada is glorifying the importance of reading the Bhagavatam and how it is so dear to the devotees. So pure devotees, that's their only activity. Reading and discussing about the Srimad Bhagavatam and the transcendental and glorious activities of the Lord. So we should also try our best in trying to understand this message of the Gita and the Bhagavatam so that we can find somehow or other ultimate satisfaction to our mind and intellectual capacities. Because that's the only thing that can give us real pleasure. So I'll stop here. If anyone has any question, we can take one or two. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.